What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the globetrottin', headshottin', rootin', tootin', nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Missed you, brother.
I missed you too. It's been too long. You know, I came back from vacation and I said, Tim, Nick, grab the pine. I need to sit down with my friend Andy Cortez because I haven't seen him in so long. I haven't talked to him in so long. I need a little one-on-one. This is our first one-on-one podcast, Andy.
You wanted the one-on-one, so you got Tim with COVID.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I unleashed COVID on Tim. If you didn't unleash here, ladies and gentlemen, I did like the Tajiri mist. I put COVID in my mouth and spit it in Tim's face, but I'm fine. Don't worry.
Tajiri mist. Is that the Terrigen mist?
It's
No. Yeah, he was a wrestler, Tajiri. He was big in ECW. He eventually went to WWE like everybody else, though. And he used to spit this green mist in people's face and then fuck them up. They called him the Japanese buzzsaw because he kicked so hard. And like he would kick and his pants would make this like slaps. I mean, he'd slap his chest too, but it was ridiculous. Tajiri was the fucking man, Andy.
Let me Google Tajiri real quick. Because when I think of just mist in the WWE, all I think of is Triple H.
He just spits water. That's not the same thing.
Tajiri.
Yosho Hero.
You spell it off, Jerry.
I'm seeing Tajiri spraying mist in Jonathan Coachman's face.
Tajiri. Kevin, that's who we're looking for. Of course, Kevin's here. Of course, in the ones and twos.
Apparently, it's podcast. A powdered drink mix, such as Kool-Aid.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's like poison. In the yarn I spun you, I had liquid COVID in my mouth. That didn't infect me, but then I sprayed it out. And then when it became aerosol, that's what got Tim and put him down.
Got it. Once it makes contact with the air, that's where it activates.
There he is. Look at him. Look at Tajiri. What a specimen. You know what I mean? Look at that guy. Kevin, that guy kicks you in the head and then spits green stuff in your face. You think you're getting up? You ain't getting up, Kev. Look at him right there. Just destroying people. ECW was the coolest hashtag when ECW came to, you know, WWE brought a bunch of people there. That was cool, too.
That was a big part of my life that I just don't think I experienced. I think
wrestling. Yeah.
I think I was out by ECW. Like as ECW was climbing the ranks and making a name for itself and eventually folding in, like I think I was done with wrestling by maybe the end of middle school.
But I forget the age difference. So what was that around there for you?
I'd say around maybe 12, 13, 14. But
like what year are we at then?
2002.
Okay.
Around the end of middle school, yeah. Because high school, I'm still aware of it. I've got a lot of friends.
Oh, yeah, everybody's aware of it. Yeah.
I've got a lot of friends who were still hardcore and are still hardcore into wrestling.
Yeah.
And it was through them that, like, I missed the whole climb of John Cena as a name.
Sure.
That name.
He was just entrenched by the time you knew about it.
Yeah, I just didn't really understand the whole you can't see me. That whole trend was just something that just passed me by. But I'd say like the last big thing that I watched was when I was still semi into wrestling. And that was Shawn Michaels giving the sweet chin music to Ric Flair at SummerSlam.
I love you. I'm sorry. Yeah, it kicks him.
And that was one of the most memorable emotional moments of my life. And by that point, I had already been out of wrestling for several years, but of course, you know those cornerstones of the industry. Of and that was like one of the last big things that I remembered.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Tajiri had a great run with Mikey Whipwreck in ECW. That was fun. Then he came over to WWE. He's great there
Mikey,
too.
What?
Whipwreck.
Spelled like a whip and then
whip
a wreck.
And then like a car wreck, yeah.
Whipwreck. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just looking right here.
I didn't make this up. I'm not going to make things up about ECW. Don't worry about that. That's not my style, Andy Cortez.
This guy had a good head of hair and his lost.
He did.
That's not a great name, though, right? Whipwreck?
Mikey Whipwreck. I mean, it made Andy think, right? You hear Greg Miller, you're not going to remember that
but
name.
But it made just so we're clear, it made Andy think it wasn't real, right?
But hey, yeah. Andy's conversating right now.
I don't. Okay.
You I don't know if that's the argument. I don't know if that's the.
Hey, I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Kevin.
I don't know if that's the interaction you want somebody to have, like Whipwreck, what the hell is that? Like,
then you see him in the ring doing something, and you're like, all right, cool, and that's Mikey Whipwreck, and that's just normal then. There's a guy called Big Dick Dudley that wrestled, and everyone's just like, his name's Big Dick. All right, cool.
I'll tell you the coolest names that I've experienced in the past several weeks as we've been doing Rocky and review.
I met a guy named Lupe yesterday, but sure, go for it.
Yeah,
that's my uncle's name, Lupe.
Is it short for Guadalupe?
Yeah.
This man's name was Guadalupe.
Guadalupe Henevevel.
Okay, this is Social Security.
Kevin, as we've been doing Rocky in review,
yeah,
I've been experiencing a lot of really cool names there. I've seen it. Like Tommy Gunn as one of the boxers. Union
Jack.
Boxer. Is it Union Jack? No.
I don't know.
It's Union Kane, which is a really cool name as well.
Yes, Union, that's it. Yeah, you nailed it.
We're talking fucking what was Mr. T's name in Rocky? Mr. T's boxing name. Something was
Lightning or
Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang.
It's all of these names sound and feel like they are their personas. They sound and feel like they are WWE personas.
Sure, sure.
And I think they do a great job with names like that. And I just wish that like something like Mikey Whipwreck, maybe, you know, let that one stew on that one a bit more.
Well, you know, ECW, that was their whole shtick though, right? Like they weren't like WWE, right? They were the underground. They were the indie scene.
But see, I mean, you walk up to Mikey Whipwreck and say, hey, here's a ticket to WWE. Do you want it? What's he going to say? You think he's going to stay in underground?
They all did that. How about this? I'm going to bounce this name off you, all right? Justin Credible.
Oh,
right.
Justin Credible.
Credible.
I don't like that as a last name, though.
Because he's Mr. Like,
it has
Credible.
To be all
but
together.
But then he would say he's just incredible. Like, he could say that in promos and stuff, you know?
Well, Mikey Whipwreck was trained by Mick Foley.
Sure, yeah.
That's what I'm seeing right here on Wikipedia.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of good lineage there in wrestling for that way. You know what I mean?
Great.
They did a whole thing when Mick Foley left ECW for WWE. They did a whole thing where they danced to New York, New York in the center of the ring.
What does that mean?
I'm reading a list right here of the top 50 greatest ring names ever. That's a little bit biased because it's on WWE's website, right? A little bit biased.
Well, yeah. But I mean, also like everybody's kind of come through WWE, right?
Oh, you're on the website, so you got a stake in it. You're all.
I mean, I'm not even on the website. Like, I'm an employee, right? So I'm just saying, like, really, I think you can trust WWE. I'm kidding around. I'm an independent contractor. But I mean, it's not like you're going to be pulling somebody from New Japan, right? Like, I mean, yeah, they're going to have a great name over there. We're not going to know.
There's some names in this top 10 that I'm surprised by that they're here. And I think it's maybe WWE just trying to respect the past, Greg.
Give me one of the
names.
A little bit.
I'm looking at this top 10 of names. It's like, God damn, who the fuck are some of these people wrestling from the 70s? So number 10 in this top 50 list, Cactus Jack.
Yeah, Mick Foley. Great name.
Cool. Sounds
again,
great.
Again, remember name. Everybody, that's Cactus Jack. I don't know if you know this, Andy, because you're old like me too. But there's this Travis Scott fellow or whatever who's got a McDonald's meal and he calls himself Cactus Jack now. And that's what the kids assume Cactus Jack is. That's not Cactus Jack. Mick Foley was Cactus Jack. I digress.
This is the real Cactus Jack.
Exactly. Great name.
Mick Foley, one of his three personas.
Of course.
Number 9, Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Yeah, Dr. Death Steve Williams, yeah.
Not something that I would expect to be in the top 10.
But is it a good name? Again, number is it just 8, a good name? Dr. Death is a good name, right?
Number 8, even better, though. And deservedly so, is higher on the list. Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh, Gorilla Monsoon.
A wrestler I never watched, but a name that I've
always
respected.
You knew him as an announcer.
Of course.
Him and Bobby the Brain Heenan. Yeah, hell yeah.
Think of that, Kevin. A Gorilla Monsoon. It's just an animal and a weather thing together. Like, they shouldn't really make sense together. Like, if I said Monkey Storm, like, that's an odd thing to kind
of conceive. Holy shit, that's a great fucking name, too.
Monkey Storm is pretty sick, yeah. Primate, I don't know. Gorilla Monsoon, though, awesome name, Greg, at number 8.
Primate. 100%, yeah, yeah.
Number 7, the Fabulous Moolah.
Hell yeah, the Fabulous Moolah.
Lillian Ellison.
Put female wrestling on the map.
A character that just way before my time, I'd say.
But she found new claims to fame during the Attitude Era. She showed back up with Mae Young. Mae Young was having sex with Mark Henry. Mae Young got put through the powerbomb through the table. Mae Young is badass. We did this on stream when we were doing Rumbleverse. Badass woman wrestler.
Mae Young was born in 1923? My God.
And when she was 70-something, she was getting put through tables by Bubba Ray Dudley.
What the fuck? Yeah. Rest in peace. Rest in power. She passed away in 2014. Sure. But I did not expect to see born in almost 100 years ago, basically 99 years ago.
Yeah.
That is really, really impressive.
When, you know, Attitude Era was taken off and people were always like, show your puppies, you know, they're talking about titties or whatever, and they wanted to see all the bra and panty matches. Ha! Yeah, he's a great Jerry the King Long. Mae Young actually took off her top and showed her very old doggies.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I always had this, I had this friend who I think just lied to all of us to try to, like, impress us, but said that one time at the Houston show, at one of the Houston WWF Raws back in the day, that he saw Sable's boobs. And we all believed them, but now that I think of it, I don't think it actually happened. I don't think he saw Sable's boobs.
No,
but it was cool.
Maybe it was when she had those like black handprints across her nips. You know what I mean? Sable's doing shit like that all the time.
Possibly.
And she was in a Playboy, obviously.
Now, I think Andy, we all wanted to believe it just to like boobs.
Real quick, sorry, just to interrupt you. Sorry. It's August 29th, 2022, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. I've sent you a Slack of Mae Young topless, but it wasn't to sexually harass you, it was because of the conversation.
Are you just putting this on?
This is on the record, everybody. All right. Okay. I don't need you spinning some yarn. I saw yesterday you manufactured some Reddit thread to make me look bad. You tweeted that out.
That was not manufactured. It's just a screen grab. All right. Holy fuck. Okay. That is a photo of an elderly lady topless. Jesus.
If you want to look into it, everybody, you can put Mae Young topless into Google. It'll find it for you. Don't worry. You got to turn off safe search. You know what I mean?
Let me drop down to number 6 on the list, Greg.
Yeah, please get back on. Let's get back to work here. You know what I mean?
Bam Bam Bigelow. Great
name. What a name. What a wrestler. From Asbury Park, New Jersey. Bam. Bam, Bigelow. You remember him versus Taz, ECW Heatwave 1996. What a fucking match! You kidding me? So they're just beating the shit out of each other, Andy. And eventually they go through the way ECW had their rampway, their walkway. They go through that. I'll get you a clip.
I don't remember. I have such a bad memory when it comes.
Well,
to
I also
some
don't
matches.
Think you were watching ECW Heatwave.
Oh, gotcha. Number 5, Killer Kowalski. First entered the ring as Tarzan and Hercules in the late 1940s. Jesus, this photo looks this photo of Killer Kowalski, I'm going to put it up on my shot for Kevin. This photo looks like when you hear about like a circus kind of thing happening in town.
Oh, it was Heatwave 98, everybody. Heatwave 98. Sorry, my apologies.
Look at Killer Kowalski.
Also, something's wrong about the, like, I get that he's like flexing and overextending, but like his chest muscles. Yeah. Oh, he could have worked on them a little bit more. I think
they didn't know what they were doing back then. Kevin,
you think so? You think that's what it's
they
just didn't. Flawless?
They had no idea about what
Isn't
to work
wild?
Out at the time. But
Isn't...
I also wonder if a bit of it, Kevin, was the body type, because as you see here, he was 6'7". And I think that larger frames, I think that plays into just biology and how your muscles are formed and stuff. Like, I think it's easier to get jacked. I think you're just kind of naturally going to look odd that tall. Look at Greg.
Okay, how you guys doing?
I'm tall. He is weird looking.
All right, number 4 on the list. Another one I disagree with. One Man Gang.
No, that, yeah, I never liked One Man Gang. I never liked that. That was never one of my things.
This dude was 6'9", 457 pounds. No idea who One Man Gang was.
I remember him. I was just not a fan of that name. I didn't think that was that amazing.
Number 3, Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah, Abdullah the Butcher. Again, I don't think that's a great name. Now, I agree with you now. Where we're getting into here, like, classic names, right?
Yeah.
Here's something that means it. All right, Andy, I'm going to send you this WWE video, all right? Chad, if you want to look, you can Google it. WWE.com has I'm sorry, what's that
called? Am I not allowed to bring it up? Is that?
I don't know. I mean, we'll probably get claimed. We won't get taken down, right?
Okay.
I feel like this too. I'm asking you, Kevin.
No, yeah, I mean, you're probably right. But I could show you guys. I can just switch what screen I'm sending.
Well, I mean, again, I don't mind showing it, see what happens. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I'm scared.
I guess
about that,
I can.
You know?
Okay. Well, you know, Kevin, when you get the video that I just sent to Assets, go to like 45 seconds. And watch. Do you want to see? Still talking about boobs? No, we're talking about Bam Bam Bigelow versus Taz for the FTW Championship. Jen, you want to come watch it?
Cool, Andy, that was hilarious.
And we weren't just talking about boobs, all right? We're talking about Mae Young's like 78-year-old boobs, all right? Show some respect for wrestling legacies.
It's crazy. Andy, back to you. These clips right. are still up here. This is wild. I'm watching it right now.
Oh, you're watching?
Hold on, don't do watch it. With, so yeah, watch it. Kev show you. Kev's gonna show it to you.
There it is. I'll watch it again. I'll watch it for a second time. No big deal.
I mean, you can just talk about how cool it is then, right? Because look at it.
Look at this big dive through whatever
bam,
this.
Bam, bam, big. This is their walkway. So like, this is what they walk to the ring on, right? And then a reversal from Taz, boom, right through it. Right.
That's one of those moves that I don't know who the benefactor was. You know what I mean? I don't know who came out on top there.
Well, Taz did, you know what I mean, in storyline there.
Got it.
You know what I mean? But like, yeah, that's how it's got to be. ECW, man.
They're freaking out.
What a time.
The crowd is going nuts. And I'd love to know the story of the crowd. Like, of everybody there right now.
Did they go through the floor? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's an elevated walkway to the ring, right?
Oh, yeah,
that like bumps up to the ring that you would crawl, go over the top rope. They're like their top rope level there, and yeah, they go through it.
Number two, Greg.
Sorry, number two.
Do you hear that glass shattering?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin coming in number two. Bam, 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 bam. And number one.
It's interesting.
He's got you for 3 minutes.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man Randy Savage is number one on the list.
Huh.
Interesting, right? Like, this is not a list. Like, I'm going to scroll up just to kind of pick. Like, number 17 I'm seeing right here, Jake the Snake Roberts. I think that's a fantastic name. Number 30, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Great name.
Number 36, Buzz Sawyer. Don't remember. But The Undertaker, 38, fantastic name. I don't agree with many of these. I think you need to talk to your people
now,
over.
Now, here's what I would say, though. Is you came in and you cast a lot of doubt on this list. I think the fact that there's names on there that you don't know and you don't agree with says that they're actually students of the game. They're going kind of deep into it, you know? Because they could have just gone Undertaker number two and you would have been like, all right, whatever. Yeah,
cool. I think it's a lot of people just trying to show like, hey, we know our stuff over here as well. Chris Jericho, number 42. It's just a name.
What are they doing? What are they doing? Lionheart Chris Jericho? Or are they doing Millennium Man Chris Jericho? They're just saying Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
Link me to this. You're misreading. You're misreading something.
No, Chris Jericho is just here on this list. The greatest ring names.
Don't be a coward. Send it to me. Send me the list right now.
All right, I'll send you the list.
Just you do that. All right, and I will click over and I will look at it.
One thing that I do remember that was kind of funny was on one of Chris Jericho's interviews with the Dan Le Batard show, he let them know that his first name was Jack Action.
Yeah.
And that's what his name was going to be. And they were like, that's a horrible name. He's like, yeah, I'm so glad I didn't stick with it because Jack Action is not this superstar today. It's like Chris Jericho. It had to be Chris Jericho. That had to be the name.
Now, look at this. So is this how we got here? You Googled Mikey Whipwreck and that brought you here?
No, I ended up Googling like best great.
Mikey Whipwreck on the list. You know what I mean? Like right there, you were talking shit.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. Wow.
Yeah, he's up here at number 47.
The discussion was he wasn't great. Like that's not
yeah, I know, but I was like, I don't think it's bad. You remember it, you know what I mean?
I know.
Chris Jericho, although he was raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, Chris Jericho was born in Long Island, New York, not far from Jericho Turnpike. The roadway clearly inspired Y2J's ring name later in life. Right? Wrong. A metalhead since elementary school, WWE's first ever undisputed champion took a cue from the obscure German power metal outfit Halloween 19 Walls of Jericho when he coined himself Chris Jericho in 1990. Years later, the record would influence Y2J again when he rechristened the Lion Tamer submission maneuver, the Walls of Jericho.
Walls of Jericho, I can't. Fantastic like move name, of course.
I mean, it's one of those, you're going to say Chris Jericho 42 is a great ring name. Don't necessarily agree with that. 43. So beat by Chris Jericho. Pork Chop Cash. The man's name was Pork Chop Cash. That's a great name.
I think this list is awful.
Yeah, you think so. Pork chop cash. Wait, it sounds like someone's ordering something and then asking if this form of payment is okay.
It sounds like what the Uber driver like left as the note to like the restaurant, like pork chop, and they're paying with cash. But the funny thing is, like, there's not even a number 50 on this list. What? It starts at 49 with Andre the Giant. Where's 50?
Andre the Giant is he comes, but like higher in the list than Pork Chop Cash.
Yeah. 7'4", 500 pounds, dude.
Mm-hmm.
They used to talk about the amount that this dude would drink. And how it was just
was in a lot of, Andy, he was in a lot of pain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, like, I couldn't imagine having to travel as this guy on a plane. 7'4", 500 pounds. That's absolutely unreal. Are there any good documentaries on him, Greg?
Oh, yeah. There's also, I got a autobiography, or I got a biography, not autobiography. I got a bio comic that was good about him. Damn, you're right. That is bizarre. Why does this start at number 49? Oh, fuck.
I'm telling you, dude. Now, as I read down, it says, it talks about the Million Dollar Man. It talks about a bunch of other names, but it's like, where is number 50? I don't know where number 50 is.
Maybe they're leaving that spot open for your favorite. You know,
for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, leave some space for the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kinda Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes two, best friends gather on this table, each coming to BS with each other about whatever it is they want to BS about. If you want to BS with us, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can write in with your own topics for us. You can watch us record the show live, just like Nick is, Lexi is, and Keegan are. And of course, you can get the show with the post show we do each and every week. Plus, you can get those benefits for a bevy of other Kinda Funny programs, including all the game stuff. You get an exclusive podcast. There's so much cool stuff on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Why not go and subscribe? Of course, if you don't have any bucks to kick our way, no big deal. You can get each and every episode of Kinda Funny podcast on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and listening and streaming on podcast services around the globe each and every week. Of course, you get the ads. You want to get the post show. You couldn't write in. You couldn't be a Patreon producer. You want to get the exclusive podcast we put up or any of that stuff, but you still have a good time. Some housekeeping for you. First off, of course, remember, we have an Epic creator code. If you are playing video games, use the code Kinda Funny, all one word, on the Epic Game Store, on Fortnite, on Rumbleverse, wherever you're playing those. You can enter and pop it in, support us. It costs you nothing and gets us something, which is great. However, if you want to consume more Kinda Funny content, remember, we are flush with in-reviews and screencasts. You can see the crew reacting to Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. You can see She-Hulk. You can see Rocky in review. It's all happening right now on the screencast and in-review podcast feeds. You can go in there. You can enjoy them. You can watch them. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. Andy, are you enjoying She-Hulk? I have not listened to our recaps yet. This is my first week back from vacation. I'm excited to be on episode 3.
I am enjoying She-Hulk. I have not been on any of the recaps thus far because they always land on a day where right afterwards I have the 3-hour stream. And then after that, I have the either in review or games cast, something like that. So I have removed myself from both She-Hulks so far.
Okay.
I am enjoying the show, though. Have you started it at all?
Oh yeah, I've watched She-Hulk. I'm enjoying She-Hulk.
Oh, okay.
Me and Jen make it's like our Thursday night little date night thing. Now that'll be ruined. I have to watch it at like 9:30 in the morning with a cup of coffee or whatever.
That's true. That's true.
We'll go from there now. Whatever. You know, nobody cares about me and my wife having a nice date night.
No, yeah, I don't give a shit. One thing I was gonna ask Greg, where are you all at with House of the Dragon?
Jen watches it every Sunday night. And I sit there and scroll my phone and occasionally look up and see what's going on.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. So you're not into it.
I'm not a Game of Thrones guy.
Oh, you weren't even into Game of Thrones, though. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
So I look up and I'm like, the Doctor Who's doing stuff. He's got an egg. That's neat.
Oh, man.
And I go back to my phone. I watch TikToks on silent.
On silent?
I mean, I'm like, I can't watch a TikTok with noise while she's watching a show.
A little Bluetooth headphone. A little Bluetooth headphone.
That's a step too far. I'm laid out. I mean, I'm on the Benjamin's playmat. He's finally asleep. I'm not gonna go do that. My algorithm has adjusted to that. Like I get served things with captions and things that have like the descriptions on it.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I don't think the algorithm's doing that.
Yeah, it is, because I'm liking or engaging with that content, so it's got to be pushing me that way, right?
Well,
it's rare that I get one where I'm like, I have no idea what's happening in this because it's audio only.
Wow, I didn't even consider that. To me, I'm just like, if you're liking doggy stuff, you're going to get doggy stuff. If you're liking science inventions and contraptions, you're going to get science inventions and contraptions.
Maybe the things I'm liking, though, are, from that, that genre. Like, one of the things I like a lot, obviously, is like wrestling stuff, right? I get a lot of stuff. I don't know where, the problem, of course, I'll tell you some things I like on TikTok, all right? Wrestling stuff, right? But apparently Road Dogg and Billy Gunn gave an interview where they just tore everybody apart. I have no idea when this was recorded where it was posted. I would go listen to and or watch this entire interview because they are just laying people out and telling shit. But I instead get it in like 30-second chunks every few days. Just here's another thing that's happening. Like, all right, cool. I'll see who's Road Dogg talking shit about now, right? And also the thing where like this clip's been going around of Hulk Hogan talking a lot of shit about Mick Foley. Last night I got Mick Foley's response to it. And this is old shit. This is not recent stuff at all. You know, it's old stuff. Then the other thing I'm a big fan of, Andy, as you know, and as put your sword down before it even starts, all right? Put your sword down. Don't swing on me, all right?
Me as you know, my sword, yeah.
I'm moving at lightning speed. And I don't mean my literal speed. I just mean I'm doing a million things. Got Ben, got the company, got Jen, got my video games, got my Rumbleverse career, got a million things going on. I don't have time to watch every movie I find interesting. So I'm a big fan of these TikToks I get, which are like a robot speech to text that just tells me the plot of movies.
Oh my gosh.
Man, this I've is great. Seen Thank these. You. Thank you. Yes. This movie with Emile Hirsch and Kate Bosworth, and they're in an immaculate room. Cool. I stopped that one because I was like, you know what? I would like to watch this movie, but I'll do it. Here's some German flick where they ate something and it was like Fountain of the Youth. Yeah, tell me this story. All right, here's a scene from House that was good. Cool. You know, I ain't got time. I hate it when they break it up into 14 parts, but when they just give me the recap, I'm like, this is it. This is it, man. Cliff notes for the show. Great, I'm in.
Okay, but is this you accepting and happening upon this content, or is this you... Like, are these things you would have actually watched and had any interest in? Or is it just, yeah, fuck it, I'm here. This is 2 minutes of my time. Who cares?
Not it's bad. A fuck it and I'm there. And again, since I've engaged with them, I get more of them. But again, it sold me on watching The Immaculate Room, which has like a 4.5 out of 10. So I was like, you know, I would have normally scrolled right past that.
But I was like, okay, so you're interesting enough. So you are then turning these experiences into... All right, I got to make something of this. I got to actually check out this content as opposed to just...
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because other times, yeah, I was never going to watch it. You know, I don't have that kind of time.
You know, I'm with you. I think there's something kind of fascinating about getting that narration because it almost feels like...
Your friend's telling you a story.
No.
robot friend is telling me a story, Andy.
I think sometimes with some of these, it almost feels like I'm watching footage I shouldn't be watching because it's in this narrated voice. Like, it almost feels like I'm watching this hidden camera footage of a break-in or there was a murder or something like that.
Sure, sure, sure.
But, and I often get those videos with the robot narration, but sometimes I do just get... like foreign flicks that I would have never even heard of.
Yeah, 100%.
And they hit you with an interesting premise and you're like, what the hell is this about? But then you're right. It's like, oh, this is part 3 of 14. Nah, I'm out. I can't do this.
Sometimes they'll come back around. I'll be excited to see him again. You know what I mean? I'm sure it's just another account.
It's same part thing. Five. I haven't
last,
seen this one.
Last one popped up last night of this one where the woman was testing the loyalty of her boyfriend, but she got locked in the special speaker room or whatever. And I don't know if I ever saw the end of this one. Foreign film, I think it's foreign. I don't know. Again, nothing in the description tells you what it is, right? The Emile Hirsch, Kate Bosworth, Immaculate Room one. I had to go Google their names, and I found the movie or whatever. And it turned out it came out like a day before, so that kind of sucks. This other one, I don't know anybody in it, whatever. But she's locked in the room, and she sees her boyfriend and start dating somebody else. Yeah, what's up?
You don't go through the comments to find because I know exactly what you're talking about. Where she's the boyfriend doesn't know where she's at.
Yeah,
and kind of moves on. Like, the ending's crazy, that movie.
Yeah, it's like, give me the sauce. It's like,
did you watch the movie or did you just watch
you're
the
watching, you're looking at porn no, on Reddit. And you're like, what's the sauce?
I watched it and then Googled it.
Was it a foreign film or an English one?
I think it was an English one. I think it was just very low budget.
Cool.
You know, three
actors. Now I know the whole thing. You know, it looked neat. You know what I mean? But again, I would never have sought that out. And again, it works. You know, we had Gary Witt on the podcast not too long ago. He told me this entire Stephen King story. What did I do? I went and bought that book and then read the story.
Like, would an English film still not be a foreign film?
I think he means the English language.
Yeah, English speaking.
Yeah, I don't think he meant like English like Britain.
Ah, okay.
But that is, you know what, that's a fascinating question. Because like, what about like Emma, you know? You know what I'm saying, guys? Remember the movie Emma? Anya Taylor-Joy?
No. Oh, who's in it? Who's the woman? I can see the woman.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Is that the one?
Oh, no, like hitman? I thought you were thinking the other one.
Oh, no, that's Gwyneth Paltrow. But you see what I'm saying? Both of those movies are based in the UK, but they're not UK movies, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Based in the UK?
What's the Emma movie I'm thinking of?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Is that the Gwyneth Paltrow movie?
I think so.
Are any of these where one of them is like a superhuman like killer?
No, that's Atomic Blonde. Charlie Star.
Atomic Starling. Blonde, that's the one.
Is that really what you were thinking?
Kind of. I think so. I'm thinking of like a
But real quick, yeah, I love those accounts where it's like, seven parts. Do I want to? They also do like Dr. House episodes. And it's like, you know, or House MD, I think is the name of the show, right? And it's like part 10. And it's like, I can watch the whole episode. But like,
here's what I'll say. I'll throw this out there. You know what I mean? Like, I think I've watched maybe consecutively on a television set, I've seen a consecutive 15 to 20 minutes of A Modern Family. And I think I was like at the dentist, you know what I mean? And that was just on with captions. And I was like, whatever. I don't know. This looks fun enough or whatever. TikTok has made me into a modern family fan, even though I've never watched the show. Cause I get it in like their little, 30 seconds to 90 seconds bits. And I'm like, oh man, this is a really touching, fun show. This is funny.
It must have been you clicking like on the algorithm or like sending my algorithm to send me that video.
Sure.
But I recently got a Modern Family video when they're in the restaurant offending everybody around them.
Yeah, I did get that one. I like that one for sure.
Fucking hysterical.
Right? Like, yeah.
And it's a wonder why Nick Scarpino has not given that show a shot. It feels like it's so...
Nick's not a television... He's not a television guy. He's a bad movie guy. You know what I mean? That's how he wants to spend his time. Now, Andy, you bring up Nick, and that's a good point. We'll get there. All right, hold on real quick, though. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady, David Hosanga, Nathan Lamoff, Delaney Twinning, Nat Vu, Gordon McGuire. Today, we're brought to you by ExpressVPN and Chime, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's tackle the elephant in the room. All right, Andy.
Wait. Real quick. Nick doesn't like that show, Modern Family, because he's the dad character. It's the same as Michael from The Office. Oh, he's like the annoying death.
Tyrell? Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Where he watches that, he gets annoyed at that character and gets mad. And everyone has to sit down and be like, Nick, Michael Scott is you.
Yeah, you are why we're annoyed. Like, we find him annoying because we find you annoying as well. So, like, maybe that's just something you need to sit with and learn about yourself. It's Ty Burrell, by the way, right?
What did I say?
I just heard Tyrell.
It's kind of like how, you shorten up a couple's name. Why do I say Ty Burrell? If I say Tyrell, you all knew what I was talking about. He's the guy from Dawn of the Dead. We know. Don't worry about
it. One more syllable. I don't know.
Andy, Kevin, everybody watching live and then everybody listening or watching later, I know you all saw it, but to recap, today on Kind of Funny Games Daily, I came back after a 2-week vacation. We streamed Kind of Funny Games Daily to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We broke all the records. We had a great time. We set the world on fire. But I made an error, Andy. And it was that I said, the problem we currently face is this. YouTube.com/kindoffunny is at 299,000 followers. Subscribers, I should say. 299,000 subscribers. Meaning that 300,000 right around the corner. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. 274,000 subscribers. And so what I did is said, that's outrageous, of course, and I needed 25,000 people to subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames so that Nick wouldn't laud it over my head that the Kind of Funny channel has more than the Kind of Funny Games channel, right? Because he doesn't pay attention unless it's a milestone. So he has no idea, right? The problem is I forgot that Nick is now on vacation for 2 weeks. So Andy, currently, youtube.com/kindoffunny has 299,158 subscribers, all right? That means, let me break out the calculator here, right? Do the little math here. 842. 842 is what we need to come up with right now. If we, Andy, can be the people that push us over 300,000, we get to take credit for it. You understand what I'm saying here? Exactly. Nick's not on this episode, so we're able to push it. Exactly. We're able to push it. Now, of course, the trouble here is this is being streamed privately. This is, this is a Patreon perk to watch the show live, right? So you and I have to get creative on how to push 842 people right now at about 4 o'clock on August 29th, 2022.
The date that you sent me an old lady naked photo.
For work.
For work.
Don't leave that out. For work. All right. Come right. on now. Don't try to get me. You're not going to make me perjury myself. All right. On trial. I'm not going to do that. Right now, we have to figure out how to get 842 people to subscribe while we're here right now. You understand?
Okay. That seems tough.
It does.
Seems like a tough ask. I think if anything, maybe like a Twitter promotion. How much money are we willing to spend for this?
Well, I mean, I want to do it while we're live right now. So I think even if we were to pay Twitter promotion, it wouldn't work that way. You know what I mean? Because if we pay it, it's not going to push it live right now.
I guess they have to review it and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, is this a door-to-door thing? Are we thinking local with it? That would Are we help. Trying to be like the Jehovah's Witness?
I mean, I've always been very pro us buying a billboard in San Francisco or a Chronicle ad or an ad in like BART or a Muni that is like, hey, San Francisco, we're just like you. We live and work here too. Subscribe to our channel. We don't care if you watch it. To be clear, we don't. And I think, but then I get into the words where I think it'd be fun and like we'd win people over with our bootstrapsness, but that doesn't read well as an ad. Then I'm like, now I got to get on the radio. Now that's I got to be.
There's
on.
A lot of yeah. There's a lot of like caveats.
You got to be listening to the bone. You know what I mean? But then the bone, you're driving a car. You're not at a computer or anything. You know what I mean?
Listen to the bone.
The bone, Kevin. You know the bone.
Is that a station?
Yeah, it's a radio station here in SF.
Oh, I thought you were saying like you're getting the meat of the product. Here's the bone.
No. It's a radio station here. The bone.
You mean 107.7 The Bone?
That's what I mean. Who's on it too? Like they had a radio show that Clements used to love, like
Lamont Tinelli.
Montanelli in the morning.
Yeah, Lamont and Tinelli in the morning.
Here's the thing. This is something that we can't necessarily do right now.
Okay.
The idea that I'm about to pitch.
You. Oh, okay, okay.
This is for the future.
Jen points out that I didn't know who Megadeth was. I mean, I knew the name Megadeth, but she's like, oh, but you know their music. And I'm like, no, I do not know any Megadeth really? Songs. And she's like, all right. And she turned out, because we were listening to Metallica and a bunch of other, you know, wrestling music. I was listening to wrestling music. And so like, she brought up Megadeth and I was like, yeah, they didn't really do any wrestling stuff. I don't know. He's like, no. She's like, no. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I'm going to put on Spotify and we'll go most popular. And she played the first one. And I think it's right here. Madeline Stanley says Symphony of Destruction. I think that was it. And I was like, I've literally never heard this song.
Wow.
And then she played the next one and the next one. I was like, don't know these songs. I'm sorry.
Wow.
And she didn't really guilt me about it till right there when she walked by trying to shoot me down on the show here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Trying to get you in front of the
hold on. Here's what I'm saying. Help piss off Nick right now. Subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunny right now. We need 842 to cross 300,000.
Well, yeah, if we cross 300,000 when he's not here, he gets zero credit for it. Now, the problem with this, though, Greg, is that you're also going to remind people that they don't like us. They will unsubscribe. That's a problem we're going to run into.
But the good will outweigh the bad. I guarantee it. Help piss off Nick right now. And I put right now in all caps so people know. Subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunny right now. I said right now again, which I normally wouldn't, but I need to drive home right now. We need 842 to cross 300,000 subs. If we cross 300K right now, again, third right now, Andy and I get credit for it. Not Nick. And I'm going to put right now. There you go. You know?
Do you think Nick is checking Twitter?
No. No. Not First off, Nick doesn't check. When Nick's working here and Twitter is part of his job, he's not checking Twitter.
Okay.
All right. It's up. Everybody. Again, we are not live right now. So you need to do this. If you're listening or hearing it later, you need to do it. It's very simple. That's how it's got to be. We got to piss off Nick. All right.
Whoa, hold on. I'm just seeing right here that Facebook gaming app is not going to be available beginning October 28th.
Who the fuck cares about Facebook gaming app? What are you talking about? What is all that?
Right, let me see here. Oh, you already tweeted something out 42 minutes ago.
Well, yeah, that was just when we were getting close, but I was gearing everybody up.
Okay.
I mean, now we're making the real push. Now that people know that this will make Nick angry, now we're in the business.
All right, I'm replying all caps. Get us there. All right.
Thank you.
Here's a plan for the future that won't help our situation today, but this is for
I love future. I love future planning.
When we get into the studio, what, early 2024?
2024.
Mid-2025. There's going to be a lot of people commuting.
Mm-hmm.
We all have
vehicles. Oh, from our team. Yeah, from our team.
We have vehicles.
Uh-huh.
That can maybe we can put a little thing on top with lights on the side showing a banner of some sort. I mean,
you want an Ecto-1? I've been thinking about that too. Don't worry about that.
No, I mean, I'm not saying I want an Ecto-1. I'm just saying, like, we have cars that we could advertise on.
Yeah.
You're commuting. I'm commuting. Kevin has the shortest commute, so not a lot of eyes are going to be on that. I'd say you and I probably have the longest commutes. Nick as well.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like, Kevin, we could figure out a way to get a long LED screen that goes across the bottom of our vehicles, like the side panels, or maybe on top. So maybe it's just like a vertical, really long side, and they're two-sided. Andy, what's up?
I like where you're going, but I say we cut them down, wait, and we just do this to our car, and then we sell the ad space. Me and you, we go on a little business on our
own. Sell it to just other companies.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
It's a pretty good idea, yeah. Are there, like, maybe local eateries that may want to invest?
Oh, yeah.
What should we charge? Here? What should we charge Tim and Craig?
We're still pulling
the dead weight? Think we need to pull our money. We need to. Maybe it's at a Giants game. If we could have a thing up there where they run a little ad, and it's like, hey, everybody, we're kind of funny, and we do a bunch of
stuff. We're local to San Francisco. Yeah,
we got these two YouTube channels, and I don't give a shit if you watch anything on them. Yeah, we know 100 pence, like, whatever, you know, but, like, we don't care if you watch it or not. Just right now, whip out your goddamn phone and subscribe. Don't you want to help us? Seems pretty easy.
Maybe a picture of 100 pence and Kevin somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I remember we launched Kind of Funny with 100 pence video, so we have 100 pence video. Remember that?
That's true.
Remember that?
That's true.
Andy.
It's really warm again, in my room. I'm not a fan.
I'm cold, but that's a story
it's
for
getting,
time,
like, sticky in my room.
Andy, here's the thing. You and I are doing our first one-on-one podcast of all time. I think it's going really well. So far, we've talked about wrestling and then spent 30 minutes telling people to subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is pretty great. But it's time for us to go a little bit deeper into each other. And so what I'm going to do right now is remind everybody about Patreon, the ads, and all that jazz. But when I need you to get into the right headspace for you and me to connect on a deeper level, okay? So start thinking about that. Clear your mind. Check all the bits and in the gimmicks we do at each other's expenses at the door. It's not about that, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, before we do that, remember, of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can support us. You can get your questions read. You can be part of the show. You can be watching live like my dog Nick96 is, Madeline is, Anthony is. Of course, over there, you could also get the show ad-free. But guess what, Jack? You're not watching on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking in your baggage at the airport without a lock. You don't know who's looking through all your stuff, finding all of your Nintendo Switches, your PlayStation Vitas, or all the other things that you're hiding in there. When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers, ISPs, can see every single website you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent. Nobody wants that. That sounds like a bad time for everybody. You can browse more anonymously. It's easy to use and it works on all devices. I love ExpressVPN. It is super simple to use. I feel safe across all of my devices, knowing that whether I'm on my desktop or my mobile phone, people aren't getting in there. I'm safe on the internet, and what I look at, what I browse, that's mine. That's for me to know. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny today. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Next up, shout out to Chime. Like a cool breeze, Chime is a refreshing way to handle your money. There's no monthly fees, no maintenance fees, and no minimum balance fees. So it's how banking should be done. And when you need access to your money, you can do so fee-free at more than 60,000 in-network ATMs at many locations like most Walgreens or 7-Elevens. You can also send money to anyone, even if they aren't on Chime. Fee-free for you and no cash out fees for them. Chime, no monthly fees. fees, no vibe killing fees. Sign up for a Chime checking account. It only takes 2 minutes and it doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/KF games. That's chime.com/KF games. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by a debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Out of network ATM withdrawal fees apply, except at MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at all Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Other fees such as third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Chime.com/KF games.
Andy, we turn our attention to womenshealthmag.com with 163 questions you can totally ask on the first date. Learn all about your match with these cues. This was published on June 10th, 2022, so it is very fresh. It is very interesting. I figured since we're together, just you and me, we don't know how to talk to each other. Two single men. Well, no, I'm not single. Hold on. No. I got the wife and the kid. Don't worry about that. Okay.
You're still committed to that, huh?
Yeah. We'll see how much longer, but yeah, for now.
Gotcha.
This is Ben kid. Oh my God. You know what I mean? Woke up at 5:55 today. It's pitch black outside. Sleep, you idiot. What are you doing? And then he's tired all morning. It's like, well, yeah, you got up. Anyways, I digress. We got several categories that you will blind from, right? I'll give you the categories you pick and then I'll read a question from you.
Okay.
Right? I'll pick a category and I'll give you one. So here's the categories. Kevin, if you could write these on the screen, that'd be great. Because we'll forget. All right, Kevin, just write them on the screen.
Okay, I got it.
Ice.
Do you want me to, Kevin? I still have the writing from the day.
Yeah, if you want it, sure. That's perfect. You got to flip that. Okay. Oh, no, that's the right way. You nailed it.
So put down first icebreakers.
Okay.
If you're nervous about how to ease into asking questions on your first date, Tracy recommends starting with some softball cues. All right.
Cool.
Work questions.
Work questions.
Personality questions. Family questions. Questions about values. Questions about passions and hobbies. Relationship questions. Future plans. It's getting kind of crowded on the screen there. I didn't realize there was this many categories when I jumped into it. All right, future plans. Sexuality questions.
Oh, future plans there. Shit.
Then they got a now it's your turn, but I don't know if that really works for us. Because I think
I'm gonna shorten it to U-turn.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Okay, great. Andy.
Yeah.
We'll start with you. Which category do you want me to ask a question to you from?
I'm gonna take family questions for 200.
Okay, so family can be a bit of a sore subject depending on the person's relationships. Still, if family is super important to you, you want to get some background on how a potential partner interacts with theirs, how close they are, and so on. If you're worried about
the dating game, kind of
yeah. If you're worried about bringing it up before you ask, you might want to confirm that it's okay to talk to them about their family circle. You okay about your family circle, Andy?
Yeah.
All right. I know a lot about you, so I need to get in here. You know what I mean? I'm looking. I got 15 questions to pick from. All right.
I got 99 problems.
And your family ain't one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's what I'm gonna go with because I don't really know the answer. All right.
Okay.
Number 14 off of this list. Are you still friends with people you knew growing up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I never hear you talk about any of the people like Ambolina or any, you know, that's a band, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know what's going on with them or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, and every time I go home, there's a group of friends that I'd say I hang out with that are like, you think about elementary school to high school and like how you had different pockets of friends and some of them would leave and some of them would come back. But I'd say that the same group of friends that I had near the end of high school, sort of in early years of college, are the same ones that I will hang out with when I go back home.
Okay. Talk to me about how do you talk to your friends? Like, do you... Are those people you're calling once in a while or text a random text every six months?
Yeah, I got my one of my best friends, Mike, who I've known
Big Mike.
I've known Mike since we were 4 years old. We were best friends in pre-K, and we stayed friends throughout the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And Mike and I all talk every once in a while. I went to his wedding 5 years ago. If you remember, Kevin, I think I missed your bachelor party because of Mike's wedding.
Hurt real bad.
Yeah, that's the one. That was the one. Yeah, I still keep in touch with Mike. We call each other once in a while. We're both Spurs fans. We're both, you know, we're all fans of the same sports team.
Sure. You have that group chat going on?
We got kind of. Yeah, we'll have those conversations. It's always like really us being sad about the Cowboys.
Sure.
And then it's my friend CP, who's older brother of Caesar Palacios. I'm sure you've heard me talk about Caesar and CP quite a bit. My old school, like, kind of gaming crew that we would play WoW together, and then we just kind of played every other game as we grew up.
Sure.
But yeah, I've got the same group of friends. I'd say that every once in a while, I'll see people that I haven't seen in a while, whether it's, like, at some sort of get-together, and there's, like, a hangout session at some friend's place. But we're usually just talking about, you know, we're bullshitting and making jokes about whatever the hell it is, you know, family.
Do you have serious conversations? I feel I ask this question because every Sunday my father and I talk on the phone, and every Sunday is loose, you know.
I love that.
Maybe every other Sunday, maybe every, you know, maybe like through how tired he is and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, of course, is that, you know, my dad, number one crane operator, Greg Miller, of course, you know, I don't know if we don't really know how to conversate beyond a very surface level thing. So it's always the same stuff. Which is literally like, how's the studio coming, right? And I'm like, oh, Dad, it's, you know, still, we're working on this. This is where we're at, blah, blah. And then two questions later, it will be, now, are you still working from home? And I was like, yes, Dad, I'm still working from home. Because he has no idea what we fucking do. You know what I mean? He doesn't know it. He doesn't see this. He doesn't know what it is or whatever.
And every time I call my parents, they always are like, are you on your way home? I'm like, I'm always home. And like, oh, that's right. They always think that we're like at a studio still somehow.
Dude, I can't wait for that personally, honestly. Because like, I hate talking on the phone, period. Like, just in general. And then with the schedule we currently run, right, of like, wake up, it's all Ben time and family time. That ends right down here to work. Work ends right up there to Ben time and family time. That ends, me and Jen get a little time. She goes to bed. I play video games and pass out and die. Start in the morning. There's no gap.
You got
in
business
there.
Calls, though.
Well, yeah, but that's business.
You and Tim.
Even then, that's more like Skyping or, you know, Discords or whatever. But I mean, like, it's so hard for me to pencil in a phone call to mom, dad, aunt Al, anybody like that, right? But inevitably, when we do go back to the studio and I have a car ride, then I'll be able to, like, you know, use the car play, whatever, and have a conversation with somebody rather than do that. And I'm like, that actually sounds nice in terms of, like, I have nothing else to do. That'll be a great time to do it. Whereas, yeah, here, of course, I got to go play Rumbleverse. I don't got time to talk to anybody.
Well, I'd say the conversations are, I'd say sometimes we get kind of personal, but it's usually...
Hold on, I'm sorry. Cameron Kennedy in the chat goes, damn, even Greg's dad's like, where's the studio?
I'd say that, like, the serious questions or the serious conversations I'd have with friends were usually, I guess, regarding, like, a girl that I was dating when I was dealing with a breakup or something like that.
Sure,
that's where we had those more serious conversations. I haven't really had one of those conversations in a while. And so I'd say that most of the time we just talk about what we've been up to, how work is, how life is. How's your married life, man? Blah, blah, blah. It's cool. Well, I'll see you back home. Awesome. It's always just like, what are you doing for Christmas? Are you going to be back home in the Rio Grande Valley for Thanksgiving? Or when's the next time you're going down? That's usually just kind of what it's about. But or it's talking about my friend's job, who he was an attorney for Netflix, and now he's an attorney for I forget what, and he's always dealing with like celebrities and stuff. So it's
did he get
cool.
the free Netflix account for working on Netflix?
I don't think so, but he was talking to me about like all the stuff that they were concepting, and it's really cool to kind of hear about the secret things happening there.
Sure. Yeah, see, Poe and I never talk on the phone except for when I call him for some stupid kind of funny podcast bit. And then we'll play Fortnite with his son or whatever. But anytime me and Poe are going to have a real conversation, that's going to happen when we're in person, which is, you know, very rare, obviously, with the COVIDs and the whatnot.
Couple beers.
And if exactly. Oh, man, you would talk. We, you know, we were at the Lucky Duck a couple years ago. Oh, my God, we were wasted. It's 3 a.m. Still back. That's how it goes. Okay.
Yeah, that's my conversations with friends back home.
I like that. I sent you the link so you can have the questions in front of you, so then I can give you my category. You can pick it off. Got it?
Gotcha.
So I'm looking here. If you're joining us late, I don't know how you did that in the middle of a podcast. Icebreakers, work questions, personality questions, family, cues about VS. I don't even know what that means anymore.
Values.
Thank you. Cues about passions. Passions. Okay. Relationships. Future plans, sex cues, and U-turn. I'm going to go with cues about versus and hope there's a question about Batman versus Superman.
Questions about values, everybody.
Fuck right.
Let's find a question in this topic. Let's see here. Number 8. I'm going to go with number 8 right here. How important are holidays to you? Because I know you're a big fan of Halloween, obviously. That's you're the king of Halloween.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you for genuflecting at the throne here.
But has it become one of those things where having a kid and a wife now are making the other holidays a bit more important? Are those,
great question.
Do you look at those as like, it's time to make memories here? Or are they just kind of whatever days that it's a day off?
I think growing up or whatever, that's a stupid way to say it, I guess. Because once you're, I don't count being a kid, right, in school or whatever. Getting out and becoming an adult, holidays meant very little to me, with the exception probably of like Halloween again, because I love Halloween and that's horror movies and costumes and stuff like that. But even then, we're talking about it mattering to me. We're talking about like having a costume party, having somewhere to go on the day. You know what I mean? Is Nate throwing the party? Is Damon throwing the party? Are we doing something somewhere? What's going on? What's my costume? Are we doing a group thing? Yada, yada, yada. But Christmas was always like whatever, you know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. Thanksgiving, same thing, especially because living out here in the Bay Area and when I first moved out here and being broke as fuck, right? Like, there were so many holidays where it was just like, I'm not coming home. Right. You just tell your family, like, I'm not coming home. Sorry. Like, it's just, that's when they jack up the price. They don't jerk off the price. They jack up the price on the tickets. It's this thing. It's ridiculous. Like, it's impossible. I just can't swing this. The amount of Thanksgivings, Friendsgivings we would do here in San Francisco. And then I always called Christmas the island of misfit toys, where I would have everybody who couldn't go home like myself come over, and like we'd, you know, go out to the bars that were still open and be stupid and ridiculous and young or whatever. That kind of just changed all that stuff for me in terms of like how I valued the holidays or whatever it was like that. And I also think, and I'm not trying to, you know, this is whatever, you know what I mean? I think the fact that like my family itself didn't have any standing traditions. You know what I mean? Like growing up, my parents went out of their way, obviously, for, you know, Christmas to be Christmas. And you've seen me getting the Royal Rumble on Sega Genesis and being spoiled as shit and being, oh, thank you. And yada, yada, yada. And having a great time and these really great memories. Right. But then I went to college and my parents split up and that was kind of like, oh, okay. Like, you know what I mean? They sold the house and then it was like, whatever, where are you going to go? Which you come back for college, where are you spending? Which holiday? What are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? Even like growing up, you know, it was like, we'd have those big holidays where it was like everybody came over and you go get the card tables and you set up the big folding tables and it's both sides of the family there and that kind of thing. And like that had way you know, gotten smaller and smaller to begin with, let alone then when I was gone. And I was the last kid in the family, really, right? Like I have no brothers or sisters, but like, I mean, like for my parents in their
always siblings, the youngest cousin.
Exactly. I was the youngest cousin. So like it was tail end of all that. And you know, obviously grandparents passing away and like, you know, family dynamics changing and yada, 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 yada. So not having any of that, those I think made it very much on my adult life, let alone me choosing to come out here and be broke and all this other stuff. Just like whatever, blah, blah, blah. So long winded answer to your question is that, yeah, you know, falling in love with Jen, she fucking loves Christmas. That's her favorite holiday. And going even beyond that, Jen just loves holidays in general. And so like as soon as we moved in and we were married as soon as we moved in, because we got married super fast, right?
Excuse to cook? Is that kind of what you might think it is?
For sure. But like for her, like, you know, she decorates for all the holidays. Like we have those Tupperware bins for, you know, every one of the holidays that comes up, something to decorate, which is something her mom does at her house, right? So it's very much like a familial thing for her. And so that has obviously softened me to really enjoying Christmas again, like, because her excitement for it and then again decorating for it and having this like lead up to it and all that stuff. And then obviously now with Ben, it's a completely different story, right? Because yeah, now I want to make those memories for him. And granted, like, you know, he's not making any memories right now. His kid doesn't know anything, you know, and every day he wakes up and he's like, I got hands. It's like, yeah, you had him yesterday, moron.
Like, it's
you
know, 5 in the morning, time to yeah, ruin exactly.
Why are you
day?
Even talking about your hands right now? Yeah. Go to sleep, it's pitch dark outside. But yeah, it was very much like that's made it more important, let alone going forward. I get super excited to think about, even though I do think I don't know how to, I don't know. And I know this is, you know, I don't have to have it all figured out. Ben's only 10 months right now, about to be 11 months. No big deal. You'll see a photo soon, Andy. I know you love him. But like, how are we going to handle a Christmas? Is he making a Christmas list? How am I not like, if he gets into video games, right? Like he's going to have all the newest shit before anybody else. It's just going to be here in the house. So how do you hide stuff? You know, I have the Ghostbusters closet over here, not the Ghostbusters costume closet, the Ghostbusters toy closet. But like, you know, why, well, what if I just give them to him too? You know what I mean? Cause we're going to Target right now. And I'll tell you, I go down that toy aisle, I'm coming home with something every time. We got him this new little dog named Woofer. That it's a little blue dog. It's not Bluey, but it's a little blue dog, and you click his back, and then he spins around on his wheels and goes around. Oh, Ben loves chasing this kid, this dog around the damn town.
I think maybe when you start hiding the gifts is when you start realizing that maybe he's kind of being a piece of shit, and he's like 8 years old. So if he starts being a piece of shit, and it's like,
I can't just be giving him gifts all the time.
You're going to want to not be spoiling him. You're going to want to, like, I want you to earn this.
Sure.
Do your chores. You did good in school. Good report card. All right, guess what? Good gift for this quarterly report card, whatever the hell. I think all that will change once you become more of the authority. Yeah.
It's going to be hard when he gets of age and starts doing schoolwork and stuff, and I see him just doing stupid stuff, to be like, no, you don't understand, like, this is the easiest shit of your life. You don't know it right now, but just read the fucking chapter in the book. You know what I mean? Just read the goddamn chapter. It's going to take you all 30 minutes. You'll be done. You move on to, you can go do whatever you want, then you're done. Don't do like I did. I didn't read any of the fucking books. Came in thinking I could read the Spark Notes online or whatever, and I always failed the fucking things. You know, I got bumped out of honors English. Don't do it. Just do it. It's easy.
Ah, monkey notes and Spark Notes and pink monkey notes, or whatever the fuck they're called.
Cliff Notes or whatever. Yeah. All right, Andy. Icebreakers or any of the million other ones? I'm not reading them every time. We'll be here forever.
Let's see. I'm going to go with the topic. Maybe a YouTube chat can pick a topic.
Okay. Somebody actually asked me to link it, and the link is too long. I could do a bit.ly real quick. Let me do that.
I mean, you could just look at the topics on screen, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, but you know, they wanted to,
like,
see
pick a topic and then you pick a question from that topic.
Okay, fine, go for it. It's
happening. What I'm saying.
Okay, fine. I'm not reading the chat, by the way.
So you,
I am, and it looks like Future Plans is going to be the winner. Anthony Corbett said Future Plans. Madeline Stanley said Future Plans. Matt Batson said Future Plans.
Cool.
So we're going to go with your Future Plans. And Melissa Hagler says, yes, Future Plans. So there we go. All right, Future Plans. A lot of the tougher questions with hard to crack answers come when you ask about future plans. If you aren't on the same page, it could signal some issues long term and save you both from wasting time on an incompatible match now. I have 15 questions to choose from. Oh, my God. Number one, I'm not asking these. Number one, what are you looking for in a serious relationship? Totally normal question. Number two, how worried are you about the future? Like,
God, so much.
You're sitting there with your drink, like, geez, that's where we're starting. It doesn't sound like you want to be there, right? Ooh, there's a lot of good stuff in here. Okay, I'm gonna go with just I think it's a good question. Number six, where do you want to live eventually? Andy Cortez.
Live eventually.
From the RGV, living in San Francisco, making it happen, successful internet personality. Where do you want to live eventually? Which does mean it can be, you know, it's whenever. Whenever you want to get there, where do you want to live?
This has never mattered to me.
Yeah.
And I've had past partners in my life where, you know, she would always say, I want to live here when I get to this age, or I want to be living, like, and that's never mattered to me. For me, it's always kind of just been more about the job, and I'm here. So that's that's where my life is, wherever the job is. But if we're talking like,
do you ever want to go back to Texas and the RGV and all that jazz? Because you're an interesting one. You're, again, like, you know, kind of funny is an interesting beast, to say the least, right? Where, you know, we're best friends, you listen to this, you're best friend, all that jazz. But then it's also this thing where it's like, there are all these little subsets where, like, obviously there's this employee employer relationship, there's partners in a podcast relationship, and then there are the friendships inside of it. But you and me haven't had that like heart to heart. Like, I don't know much about, like, you know, what these questions are driving at in a lot of ways, right? Where it's like, I know you and I know you're a good person and obviously blah, 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 blah. And I know, you know, what games you like, you never shut up about Hyperlight Drifter and shit like that. But like, your family seems so tight knit, right? From an outsider thing. And then because I've talked to your brother, I've called him on the phone to have him do things, stupid bits with me to make fun of you and be fun about it. But I also, like, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I'm leaving my parents right now. And it's like, oh, right. Like, he's still living that life. And it seems like, you know, your aunts and uncles you'll talk about, and they all seem close to each other in proximity, right? Which is this, like, for me, very much a mirror in a lot of ways to, again, yeah, I'm an only child, but back home in Chicagoland, right? Like, my dad is incredibly close to his brother's family. His brother had passed away. It actually happened while we were doing Kind of Funny. There was an old podcast about it, kind of. And he has kind of stepped in as pseudo grandfather there. So, like, I will get photos from my cousins who are, you know, older than me and have children that are, you know, just graduated college or just going to college and stuff like that. And they will send me photos of my dad hanging out with their kids or just there on a brunch or what. And it's that thing where I look at them like, wow, like, what a foreign concept to me of being able just to have my dad over for breakfast. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, to just to pop in and have a coffee with my dad or whatever. Like, that for me, of course, is this multi-month planning of getting there and doing this thing. And you're off work, you know, all this stupid shit of traveling and being far away. And it's been that way for 16 years now, right? Yeah, that's 16. Yeah, we're coming up on 16, right? Yeah, 16 years. And it's like a different experience of like, oh wow, I never think about like my dad just, you know, popping over to see family in a barbecue or whatever that isn't, oh, is this an event? No, it's just a Sunday barbecue. It's a Sunday dinner. Oh, right. Fuck, that's weird.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how that weighs on you of, again, like, I don't think of my family being close knit. And that's something that kind of came about while I've been gone, that my dad got close to that side of the family. And so, like, that's foreign to me, but I know you came from it. And it seems like that's what it always was. And so I have to imagine there's pressure from them on you to an extent of being gone. And then I don't know how much that feels for you and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, like, whenever I'm back home, the if there are too many nights where I'm going over to friends' houses and not spending time with my dad, I'll hear about it. Yeah. My mom will be like, hey, you know, your dad wasn't super happy about, you know,
mijo.
He had all these days off and you were out at your friends' houses. And it's like, all right, shit. Well, I mean, you know, I did watch 3 movies with him that one day. And like, I just kind of like, all right, well, what? I can't be with you every day, dad, you know? And
yeah.
when I'm back home, they expect me to be there all the time. I think the only thing that worries me about where am I going to eventually move? Like, I don't ever want to move back home necessarily, but, to get kind of dark and grim, like, I see what happens with the family whenever there's a death happening or a death on the way, and the way responsibilities kind of, you know, fall. And it's only me and my brother.
Yeah.
And watching the way my dad had to deal with my dad and his brother, who lives in Austin, so he's 5 hours away, and his sister, who also lives in Austin, so she's 5 hours away, and his younger sister, who lives in the valley, but she also works. And it's like, where are you all? Why aren't you all helping out? Why am I the one who has to take all the responsibility? And when I think about that, it's like, well, it's only me and my brother.
Yeah.
And he's gonna for sure stay there because that's where he lives and he has a house there with his family. And I just, like, I already kind of worry about what's going to happen then and what does my life look like around those, whenever those events are happening. And I don't think I'll ever move back home, but I envision those moments to be really stressful and like, I'm back home for another month and I'm back home for another month and I'm back, like, that's going to be like a lot of shit to deal with, especially being so far away. And honestly, that's why I'm so happy that I've become more, I guess, financially responsible and financially, I guess, just helped out doing Twitch streaming on the side, where having to fly home on a last minute notice is not a death sentence for me.
It's not a backbreaker anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like back in the day, it was painful to be like, all right, well, I'm going to be paying off this $3,000 thing for a long time. And sure. Now I still don't love it, but it's not becoming like this, like, all right, well, this is going to ruin half of the year for me financially. Yeah,
my entire financial plan is now in jeopardy because of this unexpected flight.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I don't think I'll ever want to move anywhere permanently in the future. If anything, I might just, like, move back to Texas so I'm somewhat closer.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll ever move back to the Rio Grande Valley. I don't know. I just don't ever see myself living back there. I think probably just Austin, where I have a lot of family anyway, probably seems like the most sensible thing. And then I'd be a 5-hour drive as opposed to a, you know, $1,200 flight.
Sure. Fair enough.
YouTube chat, what topic are you picking for Greg?
Yeah, pick me a topic, YouTube chat. People watching live on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Questions about values, questions about passions. And don't get it mistaken with passions, the I think it was a soap opera.
Everyone's going with Pash. Passions, the soap opera. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, remember that? That was like that was like the hot soap opera for younger kids, I remember back in the day. Because everybody had, the adults had Days of Our Lives and
sure, General Hospital,
all of those, and all of those other, you know. But I feel like when Passions came on, it was almost like, this is the newer one, and it's like sexier and hotter.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah.
And I think they introduced aliens at one point. I forget.
Mr. Hawk says Passion. And then, yeah, Cameron says it. Madeline says it. Joshy G says it. The Naughty Biscotti says Passions. That's not Superman. Understandable.
Okay.
But that's on Andy. He picks the questions. How many questions are there? I don't know how many.
There's 16 questions. Hobbies show their personality, extracurriculars, and values in life, says Tracy. And if your hobbies align, maybe you both like to read. There's a chance you can do them together. Let's see.
My passion is a topless Mae Young.
these kind of just become relationship questions that I might want to hear about if you were single, but I know the passions that you and Jen have. I see the Instagram. I get the voice memos of you being at the farmer's market, which, by the way, Kevin, if you're there, is it not the biggest upset that Jen does not like Trader Joe's? That's like I would have just assumed she was like diehard Trader Joe fan. I would have lost that bet.
Here's the thing, I kind of get it, because like there are some negatives to Trader Joe, if I'm being totally honest. Like, can I buy Horizon
Lactose? Why did you see me?
He's not talking about the grocery store. He's talking about the person, Trader Joe. He's got an issue with it.
No, but seriously, you can't buy. Come on, let me buy a Horizon lactose free milk. I don't like lactate. It's too sweet. Okay.
I guess I wouldn't have thought Jen to have a big issue with that. I just see like Trader Joe's as like, you're a young woman living in San Francisco. Trader Joe's is kind of the thing. I don't know why.
Trader Joe's just like such a and I'm not trying to throw shade here. I know a lot of people like Trader Joe. I've never had a bad experience at Trader Joe. But it is just like a half-assed supermarket where it just doesn't have everything you need. It's great. I think if you like, when we would go there, we would go there and get like the frozen stuff. I'm like, all right, now I got orange chicken in the freezer if I ever need it, right? It didn't feel like I like going to a supermarket that has like the deli and it's got the butcher there and you got a whole bunch of produce and all this stuff. And then, yeah, like Kevin's saying, other brands, not just, hey, we're just getting your Trader Joe. Matt Batson says great for snacks and stuff. Agree, 100%. And beer.
Trader Joe's, I believe, has the dark chocolate peanut butter cups, which are delicious. I'm going to go right here with.
Did he die or did I die, Kevin? Oh, I died. Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. I like that as I clicked off and I was like, did he die? Did I die? Oh, I died. I then saw it catch up to you chat where you're all going, no, Greg, you're still here. You're the one that's still here.
Right, yeah, he's dead. He's dead. What do we do?
Oh, see, I asked you, Kevin, if you were there. You didn't say anything.
I might have been moving something large.
That's fine. Andy has said lol and sent us a screenshot of his computer blue screening.
Oh no.
Your device ran into a problem and needs to restart. We're just collecting some error info. We'll restart it for you.
Interesting. Hold on. Blue screen is always scary. The good thing is his square is still being taken up by him floating there.
Oh, great.
You know? Strong positive there.
I'm asking questions if I should just wrap up the show or if he'll be here and if he'll be fast.
I'm liking it so far.
The show?
Yeah.
It's been a fun one. You know what I mean?
Oh, now he's gone for reals. Which means he's probably connecting again. Let me see. Can I? What happens if I do this? Okay.
He's responding. He's responding, he says. He's over here. He says, Andy Cortez is typing on Slack. I did, Kevin.
Yeah.
You're ready for anything.
I'm just popping in case you need someone to talk to for a couple minutes.
You scared
very private, single. It's a one-on-one podcast, Tim. You know what I mean? For me and Andy.
Yeah. So I should see my way out.
Wait one second. Because Andy says it's showing that it's downloading an update now, and it seems to be stuck.
I don't know why I said see my way out the way that people say see you next Tuesday, but
yeah.
It was in my mind.
All right, Tim, what I'm going to do then is I'm slacking you right now, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I fucked it up, apparently. No, I didn't. There it is. I'm slacking you this women's health article, all right?
Okay.
Asking your date these questions will tell you everything you need to know. All right. What is happening is me and Andy are on our first date here, right?
Nice.
And hold on. Everyone's saying they can jump in. I'm letting them know you're here. You have to ask me a question from the questions. Oh no, Andy's here. Hey, Andy. I see him in the thing. But I don't see him. I just see his like the fact that he's here.
Lord Jesus.
All right, anyways, Tim, you need to go to questions about passions and hobbies.
Okay.
And then you need to pick one of those questions there for passions. And then obviously you know me pretty well. The audience knows me pretty well. So try to find one that you think would lead to something other than I like video games, you know? All right, great.
I got one.
Okay.
What's something you're really proud of?
Well, I mean, kind of funny, obviously, right? Benjamin, the Game Award, my Proton Pack, my Ghostbusters collection, you know, the things there. What's something I don't talk about, though, that you wouldn't know that I was proud of, I guess? Those are all the things off the top of my head.
I mean, is this me asking you and you answering towards me, or is this like we're on?
Yeah, it's me asking. Well, I mean, it was me, you know, Andy asking me and stuff. Yeah.
Sorry, Tim, you're a little quiet on your end. Just a heads up for you. I've boosted you, though. Andy's back, though, and maybe here to save the day.
We fell for this before. Andy looks back, but is he really back? Nobody knows.
This is not a moment, Ben.
I don't know.
Andy's on his bed using his Android phone. I appreciate the dedication.
Flip your phone, please.
Wait, you can't see my face?
No, we can't. He's saying rotate it like landscape. Go landscape with it.
Oh. Like that?
I think you have to turn the thing so it knows it's landscape. Oh, he spun us 100%. He spun us all the way around.
There you go.
You think his computer is just broken forever?
I hope not.
Because you'd have to buy him a new one?
Let him be in porter mode.
How about this?
Hey, you did it. There you go. It looks great. Do you remember the passion question you had?
I'm gonna let y'all handle this. Bye.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim. I think it was what's something you want to learn in the future? What's something you want to add to your passions and hobbies?
Okay. Now, Andy, when you ask the question, are you asking for a realistic one or just something I would like?
Realistic, because honestly, if I'm going to guess, I would assume gardening.
Oh, because of Jen?
Yeah, just seems like a natural.
She made me pull out this like dumb stinky mushroom yesterday. I didn't want it. I didn't want a part of it. I don't want to be out there.
What does that mean?
There's like these mushrooms that look like they're straight out of the fucking Last of Us. They come out and they like get all weird and gross, and they like expand out like one of those like balls you buy at like the educational stores. You know what I mean? Like those balls that start small and you pull them out and they get all like, there's the huge holes in them or whatever. They smell like corpse. The mushrooms then smell like corpse and death. It's terrible. And they're disgusting. I hate it. I'm not a fan.
I don't know how that smells.
She tells me that it smells like, I don't know. You know what I mean? How does Jen know what a corpse smells like? I don't know. I don't want to know. You know what I mean? Let's just say I'm not the first husband and I don't need to know about the last two. All right. Black Widow, they call her, the Canadian Black Widow. It's an interesting question, right? What would I want to learn? What would I want to add to my hobbies and passions? Because it's like, I'd love to speak French, right? Like, I'd love to be fluent in French so I could speak to Jen that way and her family and my in-laws, you know, more fluently. But let's call a spade, right? It's 5.5 years of being married at this point, you know, 6 years probably. Yeah, 6 years so far, yeah. Of dating. I haven't fucking, I do a little Duolingo or a little, what's the other one? A little
babble.
Babble, you know what I mean? But I can't keep committed to it and I don't do it. And it's like, it's back to what we're talking about with families being far away. If we were up there all the time, I think it would be a much more motivating factor. You know what I mean? Of like, oh, well, this, because when we're up there for a week or whatever, by the end, I'm using the Franglish. I'm dropping in a wee, it's not feeling weird, but I'm still speaking English. But I'm using French phrases or whatever. And like, you know, I can communicate better with her parents who are using broken English. Really? I'm using a little bit of broken French at that point. But like,
what are some phrases you're using? What are some phrases you're dropping in?
Oh, I mean, you know, let's kid. No big deal. Let's kid. Yes, that's a good one right there, you know?
Wait, that means no big deal?
That's good. No big deal. Yeah, you know, it's not a thing. Don't worry. I curse. I still, I guess, even in English, I'll curse down here in French. You know, tabernacle, Calis, Degalas, you know, stuff like that. Tabernacle. Yeah, exactly. Calis is like chalice. A lot of their curse words are just like, you know, old religious words that have gone on to mean shit or fuck or whatever.
It's good.
That's good. You know? Do it again.
It's good.
Yeah, see, there you go. You're crushing it. Yeah. Now you and I can use that. Tim and Nick won't know what's going on.
We'll they cool won't know thing. A thing. Yeah. We'll
have a cool thing going on. And then, so then, yeah, that, but I mean, I'm really not like moving on it, but I think I should, but I haven't. I wish I knew how to play piano, right? You've heard that story before. I took it up in college as a way to honor a person that I cared about who had died. And then, like, Prince of Persia came out on PS2, and I was like, well, I'm going to skip my piano lesson to play this. And I never went back, you know? Yeah. I'm looking, you know, I'm not picking a sport, but whatever Benjamin will be into in terms of athletic things and hobbies, I know I'll be into as well. I want to be a part of that. Like, I look forward to that in terms of, you know, I enjoy going to a baseball game, right? I don't enjoy like watching a game on TV or whatever. Like, you know, opening day was always different in college because my friends were super into it. So I go out and, you know, to a sports bar and watch it or whatever. But like, if Ben's into baseball, I think I could be super into baseball too that way. Of like, you know, okay, I think it'd be awesome to go to the Giants and stuff. Yeah, go on.
Okay, but I don't think the kids get into sports without a whole lot of influence from their parents. So like, if you're not showing Ben baseball, Ben's not going to give a shit about baseball.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about that too. Yeah. And so then he'd obviously be drawn to football, I think, because I'd obviously show him Mizzou football, right? I like the NFL, but like, obviously when I started dating Jen long distance, it was hard to set aside 3 hours every Sunday or whatever, every other week, because that's how often we were kind of seeing each other for a while there. So I kind of fell off, but I'll curse him with the Chicago Bears thing, but maybe I won't, because again, I'm not going to stop him if he wants to be a 49ers fan. I think that'd be cool too, if he's part of that.
Is there any part of you that would want to get Ben into sports, even if it's baseball and you don't care about baseball, for the exercise aspect of it?
Oh, of course, yeah. See, I think that's just what...
Like, get out there, you're a kid, be active, you know?
But you say that about your best... I'm sorry, I screwed up where I was going in my head. You say that about the parents not caring about sports, right? Then if you don't care about sports, they won't care about sports. I do think there's school and your friends that influence you. And I think as long as your parents are encouraging, it would go further. Cause I remember my parents were not into sports growing up. And not only that, like as a kid, like when it would come up, they'd kind of talk shit about it. They'd kind of talk shit about football. So it was very much like, oh, well then that's dumb, right? Like, you know, that is what I would take away from it. Not so much that they didn't care about video games, right? But they supported video games. My little bit of interest in video games they supported, which led to, you know, me being super passionate about it. Where I feel like you know, it's that thing where if we're giving Ben, you know, the wiffle ball bat and the little T-ball stand and all that jazz, and because that's the kind of stuff he's going to start with. If he really gets into that, we are going to be the house that has the garage filled with the ice skates and the baseball bat and the basketball. And like, you know, like, oh, you want to try that? Sure. Let's try it. Let's go. You know, let's do it. Like, and not like, you know, spend thousands of millions. Well, I guess it costs, you know what I mean though. We're going to, whatever he wants, we're going to try to foster like, okay, cool. Let's take a shot at that. Let's do that. That'd be exciting. That'd be fun. And then, you know, it's the same way. I feel like, you know, my plan, which I think is easier than learning French or whatever. Right. But my plan is that when he's going to school and coming home with the homework, like I want him obviously to do it at the kitchen table or his desk or whatever, but I want him to share with me what it is, cause I want to go over it too. That way I can have a conversation. Like the not dream, but one of the things I'm really looking forward to is that when he does come home and he's reading Frog and Toad as a little kid, the Hatchet, whatever their, you know, the Things Fall Apart, or Agatha Christie, like when he's reading those books for school. And I mean, any book, I'm just naming books that I know I read in school. Like I'm looking forward to, what did you have to read today? Oh, tonight I have to read chapters 1 through 3 of whatever. And then he goes to bed and then I read chapters 1 through 3. And then like at breakfast, we have a conversation, or on the ride to school, we talk about it. You know what I mean? Like I want to share that kind of thing.
Reminders. Huh? Little reminders, just kind of, you know, brush him up on it.
No, I want to discuss with him the same way you and I talk about, you know, Marvel shows or whatever. Like I want to, you know, people always talk about school can be fun and yada, yada, yada. And like, I did not have that experience growing up, not because of my parents, obviously, but it was a very much like, this is a chore and I hate it. And I want to try to see if I'm like doing stuff alongside him, if that would help. And especially if I'm then, you know, how it is eventually math, you know, outpaces what your parents did or how it was. Like, I'm definitely going to take that as he's learning it and I'm brushing up on it. Like, I think it'll be interesting to learn it again in a new way myself, if that makes sense. And this is all pie in the sky. I know how hard it is to be a parent already for 10 months in, where right now, if that was happening, I wouldn't have a fucking prayer of doing it. But it is the fact that like right now I'm trying to keep him alive. Whereas at that point, at least the feeding yourself and going to the bathroom are a bit more self-sustaining than me having it. So hopefully I can do those things and set aside that time, but we'll see. I don't know.
Here's a plan.
All right, here, hit me.
Golf.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach Ben how to golf.
Okay.
I'm not super good at golfing. I'm not very good at all. Sure. I can teach somebody how to golf. And if you want the quickest way to get your kid to like, look, they can get 30th place and earn $8,000 at that tournament, or 50th place and they'll earn, you know, 10,000, whatever, it depends on the tournament. We could make something of this kid. Because the biggest thing with like, I always wish that I had not learned how to play baseball or basketball or football, and I wish I had just learned how to golf as a kid.
Okay.
So I feel like there's just like, golf and tennis just always seem like the easier path to making money off of the sport and making it, period.
Okay.
Where, you know, there's a 0.000001 chance that your kid will make it to the NBA or the NFL.
Right.
I feel like with golf and tennis, since they are less popular and don't have what I would consider to be the best athletes in the world, if your kid's the best athlete, you're going to put his ass in NBA or whatever the hell. But yeah. I feel like golf and tennis are often kind of overlooked because they can kind of not be super accessible, right? There's rarely like tennis leagues or golf leagues. It's always easier to get your kid into baseball and stuff in school or little league. But like we work on this, Greg.
Sure.
I want at least a 20% return on investment.
I mean, look at John 30. Daly. If John Daly can make it as a golfer, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, he can hit it down 500 yards. He's not super good at it, but he's made a great living on it.
Yeah, and he looks like he's having a great time, right? I mean, right now he looks like Santa. I haven't seen him in years. I'm looking at photos of him right now. Like, he looks like Santa, but he's out here playing golf for Hooters, eating wings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not saying your kid needs the get first place and win championships nonstop. Yeah. But you can make a really solid living if you are consistently above average, you know?
Now, I want to call out while you were talking there, Cameron Kennedy said someone hitting someone with a frying pan in the background. That is Jen and Ben playing upstairs. So I, you know,
oh,
I'm not gonna apologize. I'm just giving you the thing that's going on right now. They're howling. Ben's big on mimicking right now. So, you know, you make the noise, he makes the noise too. So that's going on up there. It's pretty cute.
Cool.
Very cool.
That's cool.
Just like this podcast has been cool. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes two, best friends gather on this table, each coming to BS with each other about whatever's going on in their life. If you want to hang out with us, well, why don't you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. On patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can write in with questions. You can get your name read on the show. You could be watching live just like Joshy G is, Lexi G is, and my dog Nick96R. Of course, you could do all these things. You could support us. You could use the Epic creator code kindoffunny when you're buying things on the Epic Game Store, when you're buying things in Fortnite, when you're buying things in Rumbleverse, my favorite game of all time, at least for right now. Of course, it's not really my favorite game of all time, but you know what I'm playing now. I'm addicted to it right now. If you have no books to toss our way, it's no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week for a brand spanking new episode. Of course, if you're getting the free version, you want to get the post show Andy and I are about to do right now, where the chat will pick another question for Andy from all the different things that are no longer on screen, but you remember basics. Oh, and I made a bit.ly link. I never put it in there, did I? I think it was right about the time Andy crashed out. There's a bit.ly link for you. You can copy that guy and put it in there. You'll go there, chat, and you'll find it. Anyways, though. That's what we're doing right now. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.